What are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Episode 5 of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat, and John Nagel is with me from Cardinals Farm Fame. Cardinals are playing right now against the Giants. It's 2-1, bottom of the 7th. We'll keep an eye on that as we go, but there's plenty to talk about tonight, isn't there, John?
There is. There's a lot to talk about. We might be here a while.
We could be. We'll try to do it in a semi-efficient manner, but there's no guarantees. We're going to get into the draft here in a little bit. John's going to shine with his draft analysis coming up later. But we've got a lot of stuff, and we'll talk first in the Redbird Rewind.
He's got it! Struck him out! Look at the scene on the field. McCarver, the first one. Now his infielders all over him. A new world's record of 17 strikeouts in one game.
All right, last time we did an episode, the Cardinals had just won a game against the Nationals. And so since that time, they split the next two with the Nats, so they wound up splitting that four-game series. And they beat Scherzer in all that, but then just got the bullpen got destroyed in the latter game. And then they went in and won 2 of 3 against the Brewers, looking pretty good until that getaway game that apparently was just too much for them, and that 3 games above .500 ceiling that they continue to run into. John, I mean, what did you see this week that you really could have stood out for you?
You know, it's, I feel like maybe up until that Sunday game, the pitching, you know, the pitching is starting to maybe turn a corner, I think. Mm-hmm. And again, with Leak and Martinez against the Brewers, I mean, it's the Brewers, so we can't look too much into that, but, you know, the first 3 games against the Nationals were pretty solid, and, you know, so far tonight, pretty solid too. So, you know, I think the starting pitching is starting to turn the corner. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, and even in that fourth game, it was, you know, Walker pitched, you know, 6 innings and gave up 3 runs. Which is just a quality start, which is better than we've been seeing out of Walker.
Right.
He struck out 6 and walked 1, only had 4 hits. I mean, it was a decent line. It was Broxton and Keke Heffer that really got beat up, and patron pitcher of my blog, Tyler Lyons, joined in that mix as well. It was the bullpen, which has been overtaxed to some degree. I don't think that's the full excuse that you can use for that game, but there is some fatigue there. But yeah, at this time through the rotation, everybody pitched more in line with what we wanted to see. It still wasn't, you know, great. I would have to look. I think Wainwright's last start, he gave up, you know, I think 4 and 7. Tonight looks very well, 2 and 7, very much, very better, which is not really a term. but it feels like they're kind of, like I think Mike Matheny said, he felt like they were possibly turning a corner. Like you said, the Brewers, you don't know, but it's very good to see.
Daniel?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Golly, I'm still here, John. Let me see. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, John?
There you are. I can hear you.
This is the same thing that happened in the.
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Same thing that happened with Bruno and Buffalo. I don't know. I'm gonna start thinking it's me if this doesn't work. It doesn't happen, and I don't care for that. So anyway, hopefully we won't have too many more of these as we go along. So yeah, starting pitching looks better, and I think the biggest thing was, yeah, having a really good start out of Carlos Martinez, because that's the guy that really needs to get going.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Offensively, again, they beat up on the Brewers and a bad team. They did all right though against the Nationals. Even the hitting was better than we expected, I think, in that series.
Yeah, I agree. And the, you know, the two wins were against Scherzer and Gonzalez, and mm-hmm. and that was good to see for sure.
Yeah, you know, they really beat around Gonzalez, and he'd been having, I know he struggled last year, but he'd been having a pretty good year, so it wasn't them just running into a guy that was struggling. You know, they put some good swings on a guy.
And if you combine that with, you know, on Wednesday against Arrieta, you know, they lost that, but they got to him a little bit too. So, you know, they're, you know, while maybe they're not doing well against, overall against these good teams, they're taking to it to some of the good pitchers.
Yeah. Oh, and then, of course, on the flip side, it wouldn't right. be the Cardinals if they didn't run into a guy that had, you know, like a 9 ERA for the Brewers who just completely shut them down.
Yeah.
That is Zach Davies pitched against yeah. them on. And again, that was the end of a 2-week stretch with no off days. It was a getaway game. It's difficult to sweep a series. But all that said, you'd like to see a little bit more consistency than to basically, except for a Brandon Moss ninth inning home run, get completely shut down.
You know, I had a double take when I saw that Zach Davies was still pitching. I remember when he was, you know, a Braves prospect mm-hmm. and traded to the Royals, I think. But you're right. That seems to happen every now and then.
Yeah. And it's, you know, this year it seems like they've done better against those pitchers that they've not seen before. You know, that used to be the big bugaboo that they, you know, they didn't have any film on them and they couldn't adjust. And, you know, first time out, they were just going to be terrible. And this year, I think they've done better in that situation, but obviously not in that one. Then they come out tonight and they're facing a very good pitcher in Johnny Cueto and not able to do a whole lot there, which that's understandable. I mean, you don't expect him to come out and put 7 runs or anything up on him, but, it's frustrating after, you know, have back-to-back games like this.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And, you know, it doesn't get much better tomorrow. Samardzija is going. They do run into a Jake Peavy that has struggled, so maybe Sunday if the bats will get going, but tomorrow may be another close pitching duel. Cardinals have had a few transactions this week, or transactions that are coming. Today they signed Jerome Williams to send him to Memphis to be insurance in the depth, pitching depth, after, what is it, Jeremy Hefner, is that right?
Yep.
You know, it seems like if we're going to get to needing Jerome Williams, we're already in bad trouble, but I guess it's good to have a veteran there at Memphis.
It is, and you know, we talked about this last week that, you know, I kind of predicted that they would be signing someone pretty quickly, and not a big name, and definitely Williams isn't a big name, but you're right. I think if we see him anytime soon, that's not a good thing. And you know, I saw some people earlier kind of questioning the move, and I don't see how you could do that. I mean, you have to imagine the market right now is pretty limited, and they have to go, you know, pick someone, you know, who's willing to sign and who's willing to go to Memphis, and you know, they picked him, and you know, their depth is so thin that it's, you know, it's a move that needs to be made.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have 5 starters in Memphis too. You know, and that's, if nothing else, you got to have somebody to be able to take the ball down there. And yeah, I mean, again, I think he gets $2 million if he comes to the major leagues, but you know, if he's coming to the major leagues, there's some significant issues. And honestly, $2 million isn't much for the Cardinals right now anyway.
Right. And you know, you're hoping that, you know, after a few more starts, Alex Reyes would be ready, to, you know, if needed. So, you know, I think Williams is there for the short time. And, you know, if anything down the road, you have Reyes who could be ready.
Right. Yeah, that's not, and like you said, it's down the road. There are people that have started to kind of chomp at the bit for him to come after 2 or 3 good starts down in Memphis, really kind of being dominant. But Mo really pumped the brakes on that with some interviews today, saying, you know, look, he still needs some time down there.
And you know, I've been saying that too this whole time, that he's not ready. And, you know, I don't know if you got to see his last start, but I watched a little bit of it on MILB.TV. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ran into a little trouble in the 6th inning, and you know, he walked the only 2 batters he walked in the last inning. And it's, and it kind of, his pitch count wasn't too bad, but he kind of, you know, ran into some troubles, and it seemed like maybe he was, you know, he's starting to run out of gas a little bit. So, you know, he's gonna, as we've said, he's gonna, he's gonna have to learn how to get guys out other than blowing a 99 mile an hour fastball by him, which, I mean, you know, let's, let's be honest, that's something great to have, but I think he's a few starts away.
Yeah, I mean, we've all, you know, we've talked about this before, and we've mentioned before, Mo said that when the bloggers were there, he needs to learn how to pitch, and you're not gonna learn how to pitch in three starts. But even if, even another five starts for him puts him, maybe beginning of July, mid-July, or maybe the All-Star break, and five or six more starts, and maybe then you start thinking, hey, this, it's at least a chance to bring him up. Now, again, right now there's not a spot for him, and especially if the rotation continues to improve like we've been talking about, there's not going to be that need for him to come up, at least as a starter.
And that's a good thing. We don't want him up right now.
Right. Also, let's see, Brandon Pena, is going to start his rehab assignment on Tuesday. Honestly, I'd kind of forgotten that we'd signed him, because he's been hurt. And you know, Eric Pryor's done a really decent job when he's been in there. I think that's been a surprise. Are we still looking forward to Pena, and is he going to be able to rest Yachty? Are they going to rest Yachty more when he's available?
You know what? Probably not. I don't see that happening. I mean, you know, that's why they brought him in, but, you know, Molina's going to want to start, you know, most nights, and he's going to get his way, you know, and so, you know, I think, you know, maybe an extra start here or there for Pena when he gets there, but I don't think it's going to be anything more, I guess, drastic than what we see now, with Fryer.
Yeah, that you mentioned that makes me remember a quote that I put into a blog post yesterday from Mike Matheny, and the quote was, "If he feels good, there's no way I can look at him and say you don't feel good. How does that work? I'm not going to be the guy who tells him he doesn't feel good." And he's talking about Yachty, and they're talking about fatigue on that situation, and it just seems to me that that's a little dangerous, because Molina's going to tell him he's fine, even if he has two legs off.
And, you know, I think it's part of his job as a manager is to tell him, look, yeah, I know you feel fine, but we want you, you know, 100% in September or October if we get there, and you know, take the day off, man. And, you know, speaking of the catcher situation, and I'm not sure if you were going to get to it, the signing of Michael McHenry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to talk about that. The Cardinals signed him earlier this week. And he's, you know, looking at him now, he's got some pretty good experience. He's got almost 1,000 major league plate appearances. So it'll be interesting with, when Pena comes back and you have Fryer and McHenry at Memphis, how that situation, plays out. But that, again, another option. That's an interesting sign to me. Not that he's gonna see time, but I wonder what that means for Pena that they signed a guy with almost 1,000 major league plate appearances.
Yeah, and McHenry had, you know, one especially decent year. I think 12 home runs about three years ago.
2012,
So he has had some success. Now he's struggled as of late, and he's a part-timer. He's not a guy that you just go jump on. But like you said, that's good depth. And, you know, we've seen Yachty go down over the last couple of years. Hopefully that doesn't happen again, because it's always been, you know, arm-thumb related, things like that. But if so, you have options down there in Memphis to be able to bring up either Fryer or McHenry. And again, we've talked about it. There's not a whole lot of depth in this organization at catcher. And so you need these veteran stopgaps just to, you know, carry the innings at Memphis, if nothing else.
Yeah. It kind of makes you wonder about Pena. Like, is he going to be good to go when he comes back, or are they concerned that this could be a reoccurring issue?
Yeah, that's true. The feeling is, of course, that he's going to be ready to go, but, you know, that's what they're going to start with. I guess if they find that they need to put him back on the disabled list, then they'll have a shot there, but, I mean, cause obviously he's out of options and things of that nature. And that rehab assignment's going to be 20 days. So, and it sounded like Mo was planning on using just about all of that. So that puts him back, you know, real close to the beginning of July, a few days before the end of June. So they may get a real good feel for how far along he is, and then we'll see from there. But yeah, it didn't hurt this time. And heck, you know, who knows? If you have to trade a backup catcher, you've got something, you know, to add to a, you know, add as a throw into a deal too.
Right. Yep.
And then we get into, Johnny Peralta, which is going to, I'm just going to say that because it's going to transition us into our next segment, Up the Middle.
Alessand, the second for one, the double play! What a double play by Ozzie Smith! Oh, mercy!
Alright, Johnny Peralta should be back with his team Tuesday. I have not looked at his rehab starts, stats since he, you know, the first couple of days. But apparently Mo feels like he's got his timing back. He's ready to go. And that has led, because Mo was talking on the radio today, about the fact that Peralta will probably play third a significant amount of the time, which pushes Matt Carpenter over to second, which then adds the question, what happens to Colton Wong? Now, there are a lot of pieces to go along with this Peralta move. Let's first talk about how he gets on the roster. Greg Garcia is hitting very well since he got called up, enough that it we saw the end of Ruben Tejada. But it doesn't seem like there's really any other option to make that roster move, does there?
No, I mean, you know, the only other option would be Hazel Baker, but that would leave you with one true center fielder and Grichuk, and I don't think we would like that. So yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately it's going to be Garcia, I'm pretty sure.
Now the other option, or what people are suggesting, is to send Wong to Memphis to play every day and try to get his groove back, if you will. I, you know, not checking his option status, but I'm sure he probably still has one. That seems, I mean, I just don't see that happening given the contract, but also, I mean, Wong is a guy that we've talked about a lot, needs confidence, and I think that would be a really, that would probably be a significant blow to him.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, and I'm with you on that. I think that would do more harm than good for his confidence.
That being said, you know, if Carpenter's going to play, and Mo kind of tempered that a little bit. So I watched the pregame show today. He tempered a little bit with Peralta will play some short, he'll play some third. Carpenter may play some first and some second, and they're kind of going to leave it open for some hot hands and everything of that nature. But no matter how it all shakes out, it seems like it's going to lose at bats for Colton Wong. Is that a good thing? It's obviously not a good thing for him, maybe for the team. I mean, how does that work with a guy that's, in theory, one of these guys that should be a piece of your future?
I think, you know, what's interesting to me, and I'll get to that in a second, but, you know, kind of looking back at other times when, you know, a player was coming back and, you know, there are questions about playing time, it seemed like that the management would always kind of be quiet on the topic, and they'd always say that the players are still competing and we don't want to, you know, I guess upset the balance. It's interesting that Mozeliak is coming out with all this stuff, you know, a few days in advance. I don't know if it's, you know, I heard an interview with him today on Fox Sports Midwest, and it almost sounded like a little bit to me like he was trying to send a wake up call to Colton Wong. Like, I don't know if maybe he's not in the clubhouse, if he's not getting the messages or what, but it was interesting that, you know, he said that, you know, we want players who are going to contribute, and right now he's not contributing. And I think that's out of character for Mozeliak. And so, you know, and he also at the same time said, you know, moving Carpenter to the right side doesn't necessarily mean second base. Mm-hmm. But we think, you know, that's where he's going to be for the most time. But I think, you know, I think Wong will get his starts, and he's just got to make the best of his situation. I don't think he's going to go down, and, you know, I don't think at this point he can be traded. So he's got to fight through it, I guess. I mean, I don't know what else, he's got to figure it out, I guess.
Yeah, and it's kind of vague, and of course that's all that we can be, you know, we'll figure it out, and that's all we know to say.
Right.
But we've seen Wong have good stretches, and we've seen him have good starts. It just doesn't seem to ever take place. Now, the Cardinals, you know, they did give him that contract in this offseason, in part to encourage him and say, hey, you're our guy. You're the guy that's going to be playing second base for the next 5 years, because, you know, 5 year deal. And it just hasn't taken. You know, we've had a, he had a pretty good stretch at one point in time that he was hitting, I think, around 260, 270, you know, and doing a little bit more than what we expected. But it just isn't clicking. And again, he's what, 24, something like that, maybe? He's 25. So he's still got time to develop. It just feels like, I mean, he's been around for, well, he's been around two full seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of 13 and then this year. So he's getting close to three full years in the big leagues when you add it all together. And I think we just kind of starting to feel like maybe some of these steps should have been taken already.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we don't see behind the scenes as far as how much extra work he's putting in. And you know, I'm not going to question that he's not putting in the time, but it's just, I would keep thinking back to Mozeliak's comments, almost seeming like he's trying to push him a little bit and how out of character that was. And, you know, a lot of people talking about trading him. I don't think that's going to be an easy situation. He's low, and, you know, sell high. If they do want to trade him, I don't know what they can get for him. I mean, he's going to make $10 million in 2020. And that's kind of a scary thought. You know, if they can get, you know, maybe call up Boston and see if they have anything. But probably not going to happen after the last one. So I think they're kind of in a tough spot right now, because yeah, he's going to lose playing time. But, you know, him not playing is going to, you know, it could cause him not to, you know, fix his issues. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you trade him now, you're selling only on potential.
Right.
And I mean, it's one of those situations that maybe, I mean, I'm not advocating this. I'm just throwing this type of thing out, but maybe it's an Adams who is hitting well, Wong and Garcia for a better starting pitcher. I mean, this is that kind of deal where he's just part of the deal, not the sitter piece. And maybe you're selling high on Matt Adams or something like that. But even so, I mean, and this is what a situation that it's just for me is kind of interesting. You know, you look at what happened to Alan Craig. You know, he signed this team deal, a very friendly team deal, and then, you know, a year later is traded off to Boston. You know, Wong signed this deal. If he was traded, you know, it would be very shortly after this deal he gets dealt. Would you think this would make it more difficult for them to sign somebody like Alex Reyes, who's coming up, or Carlos Martinez, who's here, to a long-term deal when these guys are like, I'm not sure that I'm going to be here for that part of the deal?
I don't know. I don't know how much it would affect them. They're, you know, they're looking for long-term, you know, stability. And so I think, you know, if there was an offer put in place that was, you know, something that they would want, I think they would take it. Now, you know, I'm kind of wondering on the opposite end, if the Cardinals are going to be a little, I guess, gun shy of making these deals now that, you know, the second one they've made, you know, for a hitter is, you know, it looks like at this point, the first one didn't work out and this one so far may not be working out. So you have to wonder on their end if they're going to be leery of doing these deals.
Of course, as somebody pointed out, Matt Carpenter got a deal as well. And that one has done okay.
Right.
I mean, it's going to come down to, obviously it just comes down to the player every time, you know, where you feel like this player is going to do. Again, I think to some degree, they gave Colton Wong the contract not because they necessarily felt like it was needed or they had to do it or really wanted to lock him up, although I think they did. It was just that confidence thing that he seemed to need that boost. And we've seen that, you know, when he had to deal with Mark Ellis and other times, it seems like for whatever reason. And this is kind of some of the same stuff we used to say about Jaime Garcia, too. You know, everybody kind of jumped on Jaime Garcia for being this mental case that had to have everything just right to pitch. And we don't talk about that anymore. So maybe Colton Wong will kind of grow out of that, or maybe it's just a lot of fan talk that doesn't have a whole lot of basis in reality. But, it just seems like, you know, that's why they gave him the contract more than anything else. And, it just hasn't paid off. Maybe it will later on.
Let me ask you this. If Aledmys Diaz, you know, wasn't doing what he's doing, would we be talking about this right now?
Probably not as much.
Right.
I mean, we've obviously seen that Diaz has slowed down significantly. But that first month seems to have covered a lot of sins. And so, but if Diaz had never done this well, then no, we wouldn't worry about it because Peralta would slide into second to shortstop and Wong would still be playing no matter how he's playing. It is interesting to me, as you mentioned that Mo seems to be so absorbed in seeing Diaz as mm-hmm. his shortstop of the future, to the point that they're going to move Peralta over to third because they want Diaz to play short more often. And as great as his first month was, I mean, this is a guy that was released as of last year. I know he's got a lot of potential. I know he's still young, and I'm not arguing too much about it, but it seems kind of surprising that they're all so anxious to hitch their wagon to Diaz.
I was thinking that also when I heard Mozeliak talking that, you know, they wanted to have Diaz keep growing and that's why they were going to shift Peralta over to third and, you know, occasionally he would have the off day and he would play short, but it, you know, they have to see something they like and, you know, I don't want to say it's his contract and they're, you know, he's playing because he's on a major league contract. I don't think that's it. But you know, they obviously like what they see, you know, in May, you're right. He did cool off, hit 267 on base, 304, slugging 419, still a 723 OPS, which isn't too bad, especially for a shortstop. But you know, it'll be interesting to see how he responds in June. And, you know, if he struggles, then, you know, you can, if Wong is somewhat figured it out, then you can shift Peralta back to short and Carpenter back to third, and you know, you've got that flexibility.
It is interesting that nobody has really talked too much about the fact that since he shifted Diaz, shifted up to second, he's hitting 204 with an OPS of 532. You know, I don't, you know, as much as everybody was as desperately clamoring for him to move up in the lineup, so far, that hasn't had the results that we'd like to see. He's had some good at-bats. He's had some solid hits out of that spot. But on the whole, it's not been as productive as we hoped it would be.
Yeah, and, you know, I still think he's only 59 plate appearances into batting mm-hmm. second, so he needs a little more there. But, you know, he's – let me pull it up here. His strikeout – I was looking at his strikeouts, and it's incredible. 23 strikeouts over, you know, almost 200 plate appearances. That's pretty good contact. Yeah. And that's what you want to see at the top. So, you know, I think it's a good spot for him. You know, we'll give him more time to fix that split there.
Sure. And I mean, there may be some adjustments there too. He has struck out 11 times in his 59
yeah.
plate. So most of his strikeouts have come in that
yeah.
spot, but you know, he's hit there more than any place except for eighth. So I guess that's somewhat, not surprising, more at-bats there. And, I mean, that's a different mindset. And people approach him significantly different than when he had the pitcher hitting behind him.
Right, yep.
So, you know, again, it Diaz hopefully can be this shortstop of the future. And I don't argue with Mo trying to make sure that he still gets some time. I'm just surprised that they weren't more willing to, you know, move him to second here and there. You know, let him play second and short. Maybe, I don't know if he can play third, but you know, instead of automatically sounding like they're going to give Peralta a bulk of the time away from shortstop.
And you have to wonder, we talked about this before, it seems like when they signed Johnny Peralta, that was their plan, was eventually, you know, this is, mm-hmm. it seems like it's fitting in a place, and, you know, maybe not as well as, you know, they, you know, we may not think it is fitting as into place as well as they think it is. But, you know, the plan was Diaz come up, shift Peralta over to third. So, you know, that's what they wanted all along. So they're going to see if it works out.
Yeah. And, you know, that was the idea was that Peralta's defense would be so bad that you'd have to move
right.
him. That
right.
hasn't been the case, but
no.
it is working out that way anyway. You're right. And again, that deal is backloaded or front loaded. So that Peralta, if he comes up and hits in June, or even the first part of July for the 6 weeks between now and when trades really get active, you know, Peralta could be the guy that gets shipped out. Because if he's hitting well with a veteran presence, he could be a attractive piece to somebody.
Yeah, he'll just be making $10 million next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, for, you know, a third baseman, I'm assuming if he'll probably be, if he gets dealt somewhere else, I mean, that's a pretty good deal for sure.
Yeah. And, or, you know, if he gets an American League, they can DH him as well.
Yeah.
You know, and he's obviously, if he can show that he's still got his power, which is a question. I mean, with that thumb injury, you're going to have to prove that he has got that. But if he still has the power that we saw, especially first half of last year, I think his name gets mentioned and bandied about. Because even though the Cardinals are probably going to be in the wild card race, it really seems like the division is already out of reach.
Yeah. I think a lot of Cardinals fans aren't going to like that too much, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're looking at the Cubs already won today, so I think the Cardinals are 10.5 out before tonight. If things don't change, they'll be 11 out. And that's a long way out. Yes, things happen, but the Cubs are not looking like a team that's going to, stumble too hard. And while the Cardinals, again, they can make a run for that wild card and things happen. I think it would be very, very sweet if the Cardinals got the wild card and beat the Cubs in the first round. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that, but, you kind of already have to keep your eyes on that, I think, instead of worrying about the division.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess we've probably done all we can do on Mr. Wong. So let's shift it over to the futures report.
Oh, what a pull. In the air, left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run. Stunned in disbelief here in Houston.
All right. Coming up, what, next week? Is that right?
Yeah, the 9th. Yeah. The 9th.
9th and 10th.
Thursday.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that the first round, the 9th?
I think it's, yeah. Yeah. I think they kind of do it like NFL does it. They do maybe a round or two on Thursday, a couple more on Friday, and then all the rest of them on Saturday.
Okay. I think from what I used to pay attention to it, and it's been a while, it was earlier in the week because I didn't remember Saturdays being part of it, but I think maybe I do remember them shifting that. Cardinals have a lot of picks early on this year. Due to the fact that one, Chris Correa can't get sentenced, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But also mainly because of the compensation picks to Jason Hayward and John Lackey. What are they going to be doing with those picks?
You know, I think it's pretty much a guessing game. You know, we saw a run of 3 years in a row where they took a college pitcher with, Waka, Gonzalez, and Weaver. And so, we kind of felt like maybe that's kind of the mold they were fitting into. And then, some organizational changes happened. And last year they went heavy on the position players early, the young position players. So I think it's a tough call. I mean, if you find someone who can predict this, they'll make a lot of money somewhere. I think we'll definitely see, with the three picks, they have some flexibility. And so they, maybe they'll take a look at a high school player who may seem unsignable to a lot of teams and they can maybe take a risk on and take a couple college players who maybe could sign for a little bit less to try and get that player. They've done that in the past as well.
And this could be the last year with the CBA coming up and things at least expected to be rewritten a little bit, but with the draft pool money, that has really added a different level in it. Now with the different picks, they'll have more of that pool money to deal with, and so if they can sign somebody low, they can, like you say, maybe try to buy somebody out of a college commitment or something.
Yeah, and that's kind of how they got to Carson Kelly a few years ago. They kind of saved some money when they took James Ramsey. He was a college senior, so they saved some big time money there to get Kelly. And it seems every year they within the first 10 rounds they take a couple high school players that kind of a little risky that want a little bit more, and they for the most part they seem to get them. I think it was 2 years ago they took a college pitcher who was coming off a Tommy John surgery who they didn't sign, a third round pick, and they were kind of hoping that they could get him, and so that one kind of fell through. But yeah, they'll be taking some risks for sure. It'll be interesting to see how if we'll be able to tell the strategy changes under Randy Flores.
Yeah, like I say, this is the first draft for Randy Flores, and but it seems to me, and maybe it's not, we'll see. Did you notice significant differences between, Chris Correa, Dan Kamenovitz, and, well, I guess you go all the way back to Ludnow. It seems to me that there's still fairly much that organizational philosophy, no matter who's at the top.
Right. I'm sure that that there's similar beliefs. You know, in the the top is still there, so they're going to be ones that are going to be kind of pushing them. But you know, there was the switch. Correa was the one who I believe. Well, no, he was Weaver and Kaminsky, I believe, was his first year. And then last year was, you know, he got terminated, I think, before this. So
no, he made the draft.
That's right. So yeah, so he made the big shift from college arms to high school bats, last year. So, you know, there was a little bit of a shift, and I think it was needed for sure, to get some younger high ceiling players in the system.
Now, it seems like they always say, and rightly so, that first two, three, maybe farther, it's really just best available. They're not looking at position too much. They're looking at talent. How far down does that go, do you think? How many rounds before they start thinking, you know, we need a catcher in the system, we need a pitcher in the system?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would think, at least the first 10. Maybe even more than that, where you're taking the best available. And then you can, after that, you can start to fill in with organizational players. That's a good question. I think if you were to ask John Mozeliak that, he would tell you that every round is best available. whether that's, real or not, I don't think so. I think eventually you have to start finding some holes in the system and filling them in. But I would say the first 10 for sure are going to be best available. Yeah.
Cardinals have 4 picks in the top 70, 3 in the first round, in the first 34. Mm-hmm. Are there players that have been linked to the, obviously, there's lots of things changes, but just in general, some people that maybe the Cardinals are going to be looking at?
Yeah, I've done some research, and MLB.com came out with another mock draft. Let's see what's the date on this one? This one is, it doesn't have a date, but it's pretty new. And then Keith Law of ESPN also came out with one, and they both have the Cardinals taking a college catcher from Virginia, Matt Thace. I've seen his name come up, a couple other times too, and they have him, I think the pick is different where they have him, but it's the later 2 picks, 33 or 34. And it's, a college bat who, Keith Law mentioned that he doesn't know if he can stay behind the plate, but he's one of the best contact hitters in the draft. So I think that's a name to look for. Matt Thace, he's the catcher for Virginia.
Okay. Is he a senior or is this a junior?
Yeah, he's going to be an underclassman.
Okay.
For the most part, first rounders are going to be, college players are going to be underclassmen. A senior doesn't have any leverage, so they can wait on them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's what I was thinking, because those are the ones that'll get the cheaper deals, most part. So, the Cardinals have obviously needed catching in the system, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Do you really think that they'll look at the high school kids and see if this, like last year's change is going to be the new, it was an actual change and not tied to necessarily Korea personally?
Yeah, I think, if I were to kind of take a guess at what they'll do, I'm not going to give you many names other than that one, just because there's so many players out there and again, 99% chance I'd be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went, a high school hitter, and then maybe a couple, and then the other 2 picks. Now I don't know which is which, but 2 college players and a high school player. I think the high school player would be a hitter, and then, a college bat, a college arm, whatever, the case may be. But, I think, they had some pretty good success with the younger players last year. So I think they may, kind of go that way again.
It seems to me, and you know better than I do, but it does seem like they need a few more high ceiling guys in the system. That they've got some quality players maybe that can make an impact, but those superstars, aren't necessarily there right at the moment, except for maybe Reyes.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and when you're picking it, pick number 23, it's going to be hard to find, you know, a superstar, that late. And not saying that it doesn't happen, but it, you know, it does, but you know, you have to kind of get lucky with that pick. So yeah, I mean, you know, they did it last year and, you know, it's slowly getting there. You know, a couple international guys like Sosa and Sierra are there. I think Harrison Bader's turning into a pretty solid player. Now he was a college player, but, it's getting better. But you're right. They have one, player in Reyes who has potential to be, you know, an all-star, I think, at this point.
Yeah. And like you say, the low picks, I mean, you can make, obviously do well in the draft with lower picks. Cardinals have made a, you know, legendary at doing such things of late picks and things of that nature, and they've done a good job of keeping their system up. But you don't hit those high ceilings that those guys, unless you get extremely lucky, like a Pujols or something that nobody happens to know about. And those things are very, very hard to do.
I think, you know, I'm kind of looking back at some of the old drafts, and I think the goal is 2009. If we can have a year like 2009, that'd be a success. Shelby Miller, first round pick, Joe Kelly, third round, Matt Carpenter, 13th round, a couple guys that are still solid system players in David Washington and Jonathan Rodriguez, Anthony Garcia, Trevor Rosenthal, 21st round, Matt Adams, 23rd, Keith Butler, who's seen major league time, 24th round, And, you know, I think that's more of a, you know, it's not going to happen, but that is a draft you look back at and you say, wow, that was pretty impressive.
Right. I mean, it wasn't the Hall of Famers in there, but those a lot of guys that made some significant impact, still are making significant impact on the big league level. And that's what you draft for. You draft to win. You don't necessarily draft for the superstars. It's going to be kind of interesting. And like I say, I mean, it doesn't help to give out names because 99% of us don't know any of them, you know, unless we're following college baseball on a regular basis, which I am not. You know, it's difficult to get too attached. It's not like the football or basketball drafts, but it's still kind of interesting to see, and we'll see these names going forward. Anything else on this draft that you want to point out? I mean, this could be, like we said, this could be a significant, a year because things could change for next year. We could see some penalties out of the hacking scandal come out by taking away draft picks for 2017. There's some talk about the international scene changing, so the Cardinals may be big there. This could be a kind of a make or break year for this Cardinals team.
That'll be interesting to see if they maybe go a little bit more conservative, you know, thinking that they could lose some picks. And then you're right, the international part of it, you know, it sounds like from the experts that eventually there'll be an international draft too. And this may be the last year of the current system. And, you know, the Cardinals are one of the teams that have been mentioned to kind of be that they're planning to be big spenders, you know, in July. So that might be something to watch. Maybe they, you know, stay conservative in the draft and then go and get those high ceiling, international players. You're right. It could be an interesting, you know, few days there, at the draft.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the Cardinals, I don't think have any free agents this year, that I can think of. I mean, Matt Holliday could be if they don't pick up the option, but, I don't see that they're going to get any draft picks next year from people leaving like they did with Lackey and Hayward this year. So they're not going to have that bounty next year, and that should be – they're going to have to do a lot with it this year. I think that's a lot of pressure to put on Flores his first time out.
Yeah, and – it seems like every year they get a couple extra picks, and you know, going back to when they lost Pujols. But you're right; I think that run's going to end. I don't see anyone who could bring back a compensatory pick this year.
Yeah, the only thing that they might be able to get would be one of those competitive balance
yeah
picks, which is
they always seem to get those too, and that made people not very happy.
No, it didn't. But it's fair. I mean, you know, market size wise, they are in that. Because they've been effective with what they do, just shouldn't be penalized. So,
right.
But that's something that I would not be surprised to see change with the CBA as well.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle the, you know, the qualifying, offers. You know, I've heard a scenario where, you know, if you sign a player with an offer attached that you don't lose the pick, but the team that loses the player still gets, you know, the pick at the end. Yeah. That's something to look at because it's definitely affecting these players.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that the qualifying offer has been a significant drag mm-hmm. On the offseason or free agent market. I mean, we saw with Kyle Loesch a few years ago. We saw with a number of others, you know.
Yeah.
I think if it wasn't for the pick being attached to John Lackey, you maybe wonder, cause I think the Cardinals valued the pick more than they valued what they might get out of Lackey.
Right.
And so you wonder if that would have changed that equation a little bit too, but.
Yeah. And you've seen some players, you know, re-sign for 1 year deals under what they could have taken, mm-hmm. if they had just taken the offer. I think Colby Rasmus was the first one, and I think a couple others did it too.
Yep.
The first one to actually take the offer, this year. And, you know, the players are starting to see that it's not in their favor, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it and it's, I think, well, I was discussing with somebody today, or yesterday about what you would do with the qualifying offer with Brandon Moss, who I guess would be a free agent at the end of the year, but he's not going to bring back a pick. But, you know, the qualifying offer is going to be about $16 million.
Right.
You know, it's getting to the point with those qualifying offers that it's almost silly for players not to take them knowing what kind of drag there's going to be. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some changes there. But that's, going to be interesting to see. All right. Well, have we done enough with the draft, do you think?
I think we're good. Yeah. We'll, you know, it depends on when our next show is, but we can come back and kind of analyze what we did.
Absolutely. I'm sure that if nothing else, the first round, should have happened by the time we do this again. So, that'll be something to focus on in our future report section next year. But for right now, we will transition to our last section, Swinging Away.
Tying run at second base. In the air to right center. This game is tied. Going to third is Pujols, and it's 9-9. They just won't go away.
Cardinals now losing 4-1 after Trevor Rosenthal came in, walked the bases loaded, and got pulled for Dean Kickheffer, which is pretty much Mike Matheny's way of saying we're not getting out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to talk about Trevor Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. It is a little disturbing to see that again, because that's the second time this year that he's walked the bases loaded and gotten nobody out. He seems to have pitched a little bit better of late, but he hasn't pitched much of late, so I don't know. It's we've talked about it before, kind of a catch-22.
And you know, we've kind of said in the past that it's a little early to make a change, but, you know, if there are more outings like this, sooner maybe coming. I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably a moot point in this one. I mean, the Cardinals were down 2-1 going into the would have been going down 2-1 going into the bottom of the ninth, and while they could have scored an extra run off the Giants closer, I don't know that was likely to happen. But still, it's not a situation you want to see out of your closer, no matter what's going on. Let's talk a little bit, because I didn't want to get into this earlier when we were talking about the roster, but I think this is a good little quick hit type thing. Tommy Pham still playing in Memphis. Jeremy Hazelbaker still playing in St. Louis. Is this a situation that needs to be fixed?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, we're getting to the point, where, you know, a swap out would be for them. I think, you know, if there's any hope that you have for Hazelbaker to, you know, a future, then he needs to be playing a lot more than what he is. And he's not performing. And, you know, we need some, you know, I'm not the biggest Grichuk fan in center. And so, you know, I think, you know, we need someone out there who can handle the spot. Not saying that Pham should be your everyday center fielder, but it'd be nice, you know, late inning situations to have him out there. But I think that move needs to happen pretty soon for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy Pham's, he's only hitting .254 in Memphis, but, you know, OPS is right around 700. Four steals. He's got a home run. I mean, he's not tearing the league up at AAA, but we've seen what he knows how to play in the major league level, and he's a streaky guy. It seems like
right.
It seems like he's
right.
gonna, you know, he'll be great for a week and then pretty bad for a couple. I mean, but that's, you know, right now Randall Grichuk's been pretty bad for more than
right.
a couple, and you're right, he probably could use if not a little competition, at least a little bit of rest. So I'm very surprised that the Cardinals still haven't made that move. Because, you know, it's pretty obvious that Hazelbaker's in kind of a free fall, and yes, he could maybe run into one here or there, but he's striking out a lot.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about, I think, maybe on one of our first shows, that he was going to do that a lot. He's got a history of high strikeouts, and, you know, kind of going back to Pham, you know, he's healthy, and you might want to take advantage of that, because that doesn't happen very often that he can be healthy for a long period of time. So, you know, yeah, I'm looking at Hazelbaker. He's down to 248, 286. So he's slumping as well.
Somebody on Twitter today indicated, at least some from what they had picked up from a Mazalok conversation, whether it was on with Bernie today or whatever, that their opinion was that if Hazelbaker maybe only still up here because he hits left-handed. I feel like, without looking, I feel this team is lefty heavy anyway. It doesn't, I don't think that helps this team much at all.
No, you have Carpenter and Wong and Moss and Adams, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't think that doesn't make sense. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I say, I feel like I kind of thought that they would make that move on the off day, mm-hmm. with things going on. Did not happen. It will be interesting to see if maybe they do that on Tuesday when they activate Peralta. I mean, in theory, you could do Peralta up and Hazelbaker down, but that, like we said, doesn't make any sense. But they could do both moves and save on plane fare or something. I don't know. send people down at the same time. I don't know.
Two for one special.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they get a deal. So, we have a couple of Twitter questions. One of them was about whether it'd be good to give Colton Tom and AAA. I can't kind of address that, but
yeah,
there's really, I don't think there's a whole lot of benefit, even with him playing every day, and yeah, he'd get a chance to play every day, but I feel like he doesn't really necessarily have anything left to learn at AAA.
Right, yeah, I think it would, I'm with you. He would probably go down and he would, you know, I guess the only benefit would be that he would see some success and maybe, you know, build that confidence, but you have to wonder if, you know, deep down, you know, he would be, you know, he'd know that he's at AAA having success and not at the major league level. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know what he would learn down there that he can't learn, you know, at the major league level.
Yeah, it seems like, anyway, that question came from Beefcake5, wanted to give credit where credit is due. Our other question comes from STLCrash16, talking about, he had a couple questions. One, the Holiday extension, whether the Cardinals should pick up Holiday's option, for next year. You know, I don't know if they should. I feel like they will. I don't think they're too worried about the money, and I think they'd like to see Holiday retire as a Cardinal. You know, right now, I think at last I knew, Holiday was on pace for about 20 home runs. I don't see that he, you know, again, his defense isn't great, but if you can split him, especially some time at first base, seems like that's probably for one more year. I don't think it's a bad deal.
Yeah, I feel like that they've, in the past, the club has opted to pick up the options. So I could see that happening, for sure.
Other part of the question is, now that the hacking scandal is over, if that would affect him, maybe make trades a little bit more, maybe Mo would be a little bit more active in the trade route. Technically, you know, the scandal's not technically over until Correa gets sentenced and Major League Baseball then puts their foot down. But we know it's not going to affect the 2016 draft, so maybe the Cardinals are a little more free to trade, knowing that they're going to be able to fill some spots. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that'll play into it that much. If there's something out there that they want to do, they're gonna do it, or they're not gonna do it.
Do you think that Mo is going to? I mean, do you think Mo's gonna do anything? I mean, obviously, Mo has said that the market just doesn't develop until July. There's really not making any deals
right.
Till then. You know, does Mo do anything? I mean, if the Cardinals are, you know, like we said, well out of the division, come the All-Star break, but they're still just a couple of games out of the wild card, even with this squad, I mean, I could easily see Mo thinking, we're good enough to make it with who we've got, especially if you can maybe bring up a Reyes for the second half, instead of making some sort of deal, even though it would seem like we're getting this stockpile of people that needs to be cleared out.
Right. Help me remember here. I'm trying to remember of trades that, of big name players that Mozeliak's done. Obviously you have Holiday.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything that, you know, you brought in a huge piece, you know, around in July. I can't think of anything, you know, in the season, you know, so history tells me that he's not going to do anything too big. You know, he's going to make some small deals for sure, but I don't see anything big happening.
Yeah, I mean, you had the three-way trade with the Padres that brought in Jake Westbrook, but that wasn't a big name.
Right.
Yeah.
Colby Rasmus.
The Rasmus deal that was just bringing in parts.
Right.
We sent out the biggest name in that one. You know, you had Moss last year. People knew who Moss was, but
right.
It still wasn't and had the
right.
power. Yeah, you're right. I mean, the biggest deals that Mo has made is probably, you know, the Hayward deal, but that was in the off season.
Right.
He's been fairly risk averse. And again, I don't know that there's any big names really available. The rumors haven't really started yet, but I don't know that who's going to be out there to even trade for.
Yeah, you're right. And so I think we can't expect anything big. You know, we might see some pieces brought in, but it could be some frustrating times for Cards fans who want something big to happen.
Do you think that Mo and the organization, I don't want to say is content with missing the offseason because that sounds wrong, but are willing to take that risk versus giving up a piece that they may want to have later on? You know, this is a team that's been to the postseason 5 years in a row, has a window that seems to be fairly wide open for the future. You know, are they willing to take the risk that they'll miss out this year if it's going to cost them, you know, not an Alex Reyes, but even some other piece that, you know, a Bader or somebody of that nature, DeJong?
Right. Again, I'm probably going to say no on that because that hasn't been the history. Mm-hmm. Of this club is to do a move like that. So, I don't think that's going to happen.
So you think that they'd be perfectly fine to miss the postseason and keep their prospects is what you're saying? Or is it the other way around?
I don't think he's going to risk it. We'll say it that way.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. I thought that's what you meant, but I wanted to be clarifying that. I guess that's the biggest thing. Is there anything that you have you want to hit on before we wrap it tonight?
I don't think so. I think we covered it pretty well.
Look at that. We thought we were going to be this epic long podcast, and here we are still sliding in right around an hour. We're just that good sometimes. So, all right. Until next time, you can, again, find us on iTunes, rate us, review us over there. We would like to have... it'd be nice to have enough stars that we knew how many stars we had. I think you have to hit a certain level before they'll show you how many ratings you have. So go rate us on iTunes. Leave us a comment. You can comment on the site, on the Podbean site, or you could tweet at John at Cardinals Farm, me at C70. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to answer next time. We'll be back at you at the end of next week. Cardinals have the Giants series. About to finish up, start off with a loss, but they'll have two games left this weekend. Then they'll go to Cincinnati, which in theory should be a whole lot of offense there too, before going to Pittsburgh next weekend. We'll be back at you sometime at the end of next week. Talk a little bit about the draft, talk about what's going on, and talk about the return of Johnny Peralta. So until then, for John, I'm Daniel. Night.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!